Alleluia.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Lord, receive.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as shrewd as serpents and as simple as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, don't worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You'll be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the other. Amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today we finish 5 days of prayerful examination of the book of the prophet Hosea, which we won't get again for another 2 years. At the very end of the book today, God, through Hosea, tells us, "Let him who is wise understand these things. Let him who is prudent know them." And then the whole book is summarized by, "Straight are the paths of the Lord, in them the just walk, but sinners stumble in them." The Lord's ways are straight. But it wouldn't seem that way. Throughout the book of Hosea, we're preparing for Assyria's coming and destroying the kingdom of Israel. And the kingdom of Israel would never recover. If you go to the area of Samaria today in the Holy Land, you'll still find a few descendants of the kingdom of Israel who grouped together and preserved that identity. But that's it. Gone. After 722 BC, history. And yet, God was saying that the kingdom of Israel would continue in a very powerful way, even through the terrible destruction and the being brought away in slavery. God was going to bring great good out of the evil that they would endure as a penance for the evil that they had done. So as they were about to be rounded up, through Hosea, God told them, "Take with you words. Ponder what I'm about to say to you when you're away. Say to God, 'Forgive all iniquity, receive what's good, that we may render as offerings the bullocks from our stall.'" We're not going to place our trust in Assyria. We're not going to say our God to the works of our hands, in other words, marble or bronze statues. "For in you the orphan finds compassion." So they were going to be orphaned from their father's house, but they would find compassion because the Lord was still making straight his paths. And his paths don't involve worldly prosperity. His paths don't involve worldly blessing or the lack of suffering. His paths involve him. It's this communion with him. And that can't be denied. Even when we're being exiled, even when we're imprisoned unjustly, even when we're suffering hooked up to gadgets in ICU. God was giving the ones who were about to be sent away a great message of hope, I will heal their defection, says the Lord. I will love them freely. I will be like dew for Israel. In other words, the day is about to dawn, and that dew is going to help it to become truly fruitful. God was summarizing that He is the spouse of this adulterous, fornicating bride, but that God looks beyond the sins and sees the beloved and will restore. He's always making a straight path. And He wants us justly to walk in that path of communion, recognizing at the same time that sinners stumble in His paths. We don't want to accept it. We don't really want His will to be done. But even when we stumble, as the kingdom of Israel did, God wants to lift that child up to His cheeks, as we heard yesterday, with paternal love. We're to restore and purify the bride, as we heard on Monday. Same message is essentially the instructions that Jesus was giving today as He was sending out the apostles. It's kind of shocking. We've heard it so many times that we can lose the shock value. But we really have to ponder here what the Lord is saying. Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. First, He was sending these apostles out as shepherds with a message. He was giving them His authority, His capacity to lead, to heal, to exercise, to teach. But He wanted to send them out docile to Him, to remember who the real good shepherd was. And He was sending them out to people who were going to hurt them. People who are going to do to them what they would do to Jesus on Good Friday. And those people who would do it would be civil authorities, Jesus specifies. Religious authorities, Jesus specifies. And even family members. That they would be suffering from all sides. That the wolves would be coming even very from people close to us. Jesus is preparing them for that. But Jesus was sending these sheep shepherds out to convert the wolves in government and in religious settings and even in their own families. And the way that that would happen is through the straight line of their communion with God, even in the midst of all of those pains. This is not our way. We would much prefer that when we go out to the gospel, we ring a bell, everybody shows up, everybody says how beautiful that was, and they immediately start living it. But one of the most important pulpits happens through suffering when we show there our communion with the Lord. Because that's when it can really touch others. Yesterday on the feast of Augustine Jarong, we saw that the preaching of Bishop Dufresne along the Chinese death march was so much powerful than more powerful than 1,000 homilies to convert Yang Zhuang in such a way that he would go from pagan soldier to priest and martyr within 3 months. But that's the power of God's shining through darkness. Jesus says that when we are brought forward, we are not to worry about what we are to speak or what we are to say, because we will be given at that moment what we are to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is one of the most important aspects of the entire gospel. That our greatest pulpit, the greatest spiritual megaphone, is when we're in a circumstance in which we're no longer depending upon our studies or our wits. But we're totally dependent on what God is saying. And it's at that moment He hijacks us. And He fills us with a wisdom greater than we could ever learn. And that we are in communion with God, who is speaking, not just with words, but with our faith, hope, and love in that moment. That He is real. And He's worth believing. And He's worth living for and with. That He's worth dying for. When Jesus says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so therefore be shrewd as serpent and as simple as doves. He wants to keep us always pure of intention. But this thing about serpentine shrewdness often throws people off. Does this mean we have to be ecclesiastical Machiavellians? Does this mean that Cardinal Wolsey and those types of spiritual machinators are the ones that the Lord is calling us to follow? Not at all. If you were to go back 2,000 years and talk about a serpent, the reason why serpents were appreciated was not because of their looks. The theological history of a serpent was well known in terms of a symbol even of evil. But why they were appreciated were because serpents did everything they could to save their life. Even if they were being chopped up, serpents would grow back. They were resilient. And what Jesus is essentially saying here is, be shrewd as a serpent. Remember to whom your soul is entrusted. You can let people kill all aspects of the body, but they can't get that soul. It's only you who can squander it by giving it away through fear or anxiety or whatever. So be shrewd as a serpent. Save that soul, preserve it, and as pure as doves. These aren't two things that are in contrast. These are two things that mutually reinforce. Jesus is sending us out there with that type of sagacity based on our trust in Him. Every day we have a chance to renew these truths. We come here to enter into communion with the Lord. This is where, no matter what we've been enduring, we straighten the path. John the Baptist's whole mission was to make straight the paths of the Lord through conversion. That's why we begin Mass the way we do, crying out for God's mercy to do just that. And the whole rest of the day is meant to be one of grateful thanksgiving for the Lord we receive within, to live ever more conscious of that communion, so that no matter what we say, not just in the times of hardship before kings and governors, irate, betraying family members and religious authorities who aren't really behaving as God wants, not just in those times, which thankfully are rare, but in every time, people will be able to say, it is not he or she speaking, but so great is the communion that it's God speaking and acting through him or her. This is the essence of our Catholic faith. And now we, as the morning dew, receive the Holy Spirit who comes down upon these offerings that way, precisely to make this day not a day of great humidity in the midst of summer, but truly spring-like, bringing about the growth God intends. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.